I thought it would be nice to have to talk about Mishnah Berachos other than Arba Simcha. So what Simcha is all about, what we're supposed to be striving for, how we express our Simcha properly, how do we express our Simcha improperly. So let's try to get a little bit of a, learn through the sugya, a little bit of Simcha. So when we learn through a sugya in Machshava, we have to learn through like halacha also, take it very seriously, understand different halachas, different aspects, different dimensions, what exactly is Simcha all about. So we speak about Mishnah Berachos other than Arba Simcha, we speak about the mitzvah of Simcha. So of course, we know there are certain times during the year where the Torah tells us explicitly that one's supposed to be in a state of Simcha. We all know the songs, Mitzvah Gedol Lios, the Simcha Tomit, but for my sense, it's not a no real mocha for that. I mean, it's nice and not a vessel, but it's not a Mamma Chazal anywhere. So, but there is this Man of Simcha, which is a real mitzvah. It's a Mitzvah Gedol Lios, the Simcha, certain times of the year. One of those times of the year, so we know the Torah says explicitly, if I should say, there's a mitzvah, the Sabachta Bechagecha. So the Sabachta Bechagecha is written explicitly by the Yontif Sukkis, it's written explicitly by the Yontif Shavuos. It is derived by a Hekesh of the Sefrei that applies to the Yontif Chagamatzis as well. There's probably Machagiz Rishonim whether it carries over to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also. But there are definitely times during the year when we're supposed to be in a state of Simcha. So we speak about the month of Adar as being a time of Simcha. We should probably understand how that expressed itself. How does Simcha usually express itself in other contexts to give us a little bit of a better understanding what our mind frame, what our mood is supposed to be like in the up and coming weeks. So when it comes to the mitzvah of Simcha, so there is a phrase, that a recurring phrase concerning Simcha, definitely in terms of the Yom Tov, but even other aspects of Simcha, and that's the way the Torah places the mitzvah of Simcha in the context of Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. The Samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, it says by Shavuos, it says by Sukkos, the Samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Shavuos Yomim. Simcha, at least in the Yom Tov context, is always synonymous with Mikdash, it's always synonymous with being Lefnei Hashem. To such an extent, there was some Rishonim who understood, Tosfos Masechet Maakot, if you doubt, understood, that when you don't have a Beis Hamikdash, when you're not coming a little regular, you're not partaking the Shalmei Simcha, there really is no Simchas Yom Tov Min HaTorah B'Zman HaZeh, according to Tosfos. The whole mitzvah that we say, we have to be Simcha Yom Tov, you have to get kids to Six Flags, and you got to buy your wife nice things, and you got to have Bas V'Yai, and all those things, Tosfos writes with all Midrabanan, because the only Simcha that really makes sense, Midraisa, is the Smachta Lefnei Hashem Lekeichem. The Rambam happens to disagree with this. The Rambam writes in Chos Yom Tov, that there's a mitzvah of Simcha B'Zman HaZeh Min HaTorah. The Rambam writes, Yesh Bechlal Simcha Ha'amah B'Torah, Bas V'Yayin, buying your kids things, buying your wife things, etc. The Rambam holds that there is some remnant of Simcha Yom Tov B'Zman HaZeh. But even the Rambam holds that Peshua, the Ika Simcha Yom Tov is B'Mikdash. You can't argue with the Tukum, the Feirish, the Smachta of Nesha Mekecha, Shubis Yomim, the Smachta of Nesha Mekecha. Always the Torah speaks about Simcha in the context of Mikdash. So clearly, according to Tosfos, for sure, Simcha outside the Mikdash is meaningless. And even according to the Rambam, Simcha outside the Mikdash is not meaningless, but it's not the ultimate level of Simcha. This is not only true when it comes to Simcha's Yom Tov, but this is a recurring theme in Parshas Re'eh, which is really the happy Parshas, the Parshas Simcha, which speaks about Simcha involving other activities as well. There are certain actions that we do in Halacha that require to be in the state of Simcha. One is Achilas Ma'aseh Sheni, V'Samachta Taveisecha, Achilas Kachim, V'Samachta Taveisecha. The Torah always speaks about these kinds of things as being done in a state of Simcha to such an extent that the Torah says later on in Parshas Kisav, Lo Achalti Ve'Eini Mimenu, that an Oneg, someone who's just lost a relative, Min HaTorah is not permitted to eat Karbonah, it's not permitted to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. These are activities that are always associated with Simcha. So here also, the Torah says explicitly, where do you eat the Kachim? You eat it with Nei Hashem. Some kachim are eaten mamish in the base of Mikdash, the kachim. Some kachim kalim are eaten close to Mikdash, so they have to be in Yerushalayim. They have to still be close, but simply to the Mikdash. Ma'aseh Sheni is for sure. It's only eaten in Yerushalayim. So once again, we find every time the Torah speaks about Simcha, so it always speaks about Simcha in the context of being in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a geographic presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, namely by Mikdash. But the truth is that, according to probably most of the Rishonim, we find the notion of Simchas Yom Tov even outside of the Mikdash proper. We find it for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Parshat Devarim is some degree of Simchas Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The reason being, the proof positive Maharu brings arrived, there has to be Simcha for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur cancel Avelus. The Gemara says in Makom Daf Yudalet that it's the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov that has the ability to negate Avelus. And we know that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Tapa do cancel Avelus, the same as the Shalosh Regalim. But to say that there's no Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is very, very hard to say. To say that it's a toned-down Simcha, that's what the Rambam writes, that it's a toned-down Simcha, because you may have din, you may pachat, so we're a little bit nervous to express ourselves fully. But to say that there's no Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is hard to believe. So here we have a little bit of a contradiction in the halacha. On the one hand, we're talking about simcha in terms of simchas hamikdash, very geographic oriented. You misameach when you come to the Beis Hamikdash, when you have the regal, you eat the kabbana, the sashlomim. You misameach when you eat maisa sheni. That's the model of simcha in the halacha. And then we find that the Torah also speaks about simcha in Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Pashta dvarim is. There is such a, some degree of simcha. There's no shlomim, there's no leila regal. There's no mitzvah to come to the Beis Hamikdash Rosh Hashanah, there's no mitzvah to come to Yom Kippur. There are avodas hayom that's done on Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash, there's a common mussaf that's born Rosh Hashanah. That's nothing to do with me. I mean, it has to do with me, but it's not. There's no mitzvah for me to be there. It's a nice thing to do, but there's no chiyuv, there's no mitzvah of Yerach or Zechurach on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So how do we understand this? On the one hand, simcha seems to be so oriented with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home, and yet Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's an idea of simcha even outside the mikvah. So the Rav explained that fundamentally, the simcha of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not all that different than the simcha of the Shalosh Regalim. It also emanates from the same thing as being with Bnei Hashem, but a bris kevar. There are two dinim of Bnei Hashem. There's a being with Bnei Hashem in a physical sense, in a geographic sense, and then there's a being with Bnei Hashem in a spiritual sense. Shalosh Regalim, so the Torah says you got to pack your bags, come up to Yerushalayim, make the walk, make the trip, and come physically to the Beis Hashem. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you don't do that. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no chiyuv, there's no mitzvah. You want to come, it's nice, you're not mechuyav to come. So what do you have to do in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you have to appear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in terms of his physical house, but you have to appear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a little bit of a different house, in the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne type of a house. It means your lev has to become in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What prevents a person, what's the distance, what's the geographic, so to speak, barrier between a person's heart and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Chatoim, Paul says, Rach avarasechem abdilim b'nechem v'en lakechem. The same way that there's a distance barrier, there's a geographic barrier between you and the Beis Hamikdash. I live in Kiryat Shmona, so it's a long trip for me to come to Yerushalayim. So too, during the year, I create this barrier, there's a distance between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's created by Chatoim. Many, many miles between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes Rosh Hashanah, comes Yom Kippur, when I break down some of those barriers, I reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that also becomes a lifnei Hashem. So it's not a physical lifnei Hashem, it's a spiritual lifnei Hashem. Because Chazor B'tshuva enables the person to create, to recreate that notion of lifnei Hashem. So according to the Rav's understanding, it's based on Sukkot B'chumim. So we learned it. Sukkot B'chumim. Simcha means lifnei Hashem. Why is that? Why is Simcha mean lifnei Hashem? The answer is because in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, there cannot be any other emotion rather than simcha. Pasuk says, "Oz v'chedva v'mkoma." Chedva, lush and simcha. Kila reads, "Mina ditsa v'chedva." It's in the list of, okay? Chedva is a lush and of simcha. When you're in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the feeling. That is the feeling of joy. The starting point of a person is a tremendous sense of simcha. Most, it's a very lomdish hakira. How do you understand a person's emotions? Is the starting point that people are basically miserable and you have to find something to make you happy? Is that the pshat? Or the pshat is that people are fundamentally happy and then you have to find something to make yourself miserable. So here the Torah is telling us a person is created with Tzelem Elokim. A person is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Shama Shasati Tahirihi. The Shama comes from the Lifnei Hashem. So when a person enters into the world, they're fundamentally very, very happy. You don't hear a baby crying inside. When it's cold bond and it's in utero, you don't hear the cry. Nothing cries. The Gemara says that it only starts to cry once it, as the doctor gives the first time, until the baby comes out, opens his mouth, and it starts to cry. Why? Because Kolzman that it's learning with the Malachim, what's it to cry about? It's very, very happy. Everything's perfect. Everything's gewaldig. It's got to get kavus, it's got to get bad. Everything's gewaldig. And then what happens? All of a sudden, enters into this world. So this world's a miserable place. There are so many terrible things. Don't misquote me. There are so many terrible things here. So many things to cry about. So it enters into this world. The first thing the baby starts to do is starts to cry. Because all of a sudden has this transformation from being so happy to now seeing good. So we have to go back to recreate the utero state. We have to go back to recreate that state of being with Hashem. That's our Aveda. So how do you do that? So the answer is, the more that a person, it's not counterintuitive. Most people think that the more you involve yourself with the Olam Hazeh, so the happier you're going to be. You give the guy more money, so he's very, very happy. Give the guy a fancy house, he's very happy. Give him a nice car. Send him on a nice vacation. Send him to Aruba for a week. You think he's going to be really, really, it's going to make him really, really happy. But we know it's not true. It's nice, chush machish. We know it's not true. The people with the fancy houses are also miserable. The people with the fancy cars are also miserable. The people on the fancy vacations are also miserable. That's how I make them happy. Yadu on the force them that way. There's a famous one from Rav Dessler, and he says that he went around asking people. I don't know if he really did or he said he did. He went around asking people, who's happy? Who is happy in this world? So there's some people who put on this facade, they put on this face of being happy. So he asked them, are you really happy? And when he starts to peel away at the chitzonis, he realized that they're not really so happy. They're under so much stress. They have the nice fancy house, but they can't make their mortgage. They have the nice fancy cars, they can't pay their leases. They go on these vacations, and then the cruise ship, shipwrecks. So they're a lot of, everyone has problems. People have a lot of things that make them miserable in this world. So just because you have all this gosh, this olam hazeh, that's not the key to happiness. There's only one key to happiness, and that's being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is the source, Eitz HaChad V'Mekomo. So that's the goal. So now that we've entered into this world, we all gave that first try, we all started off our existence in this world being miserable, so now we have to try to get ourselves back to the state of happiness. How do you do that? The answer is bullshit. And it doesn't take a tremendous chokhmah to figure it out. The more you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the corollary of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be a tremendous sense of simcha in your lives. So you want to know how to be Mishnit Masadar. You think that telling Purim the jokes is going to make you happy? You think that eating hummus is going to make you happy? It's going to make you fat. It's not going to make you happy. What's going to make you happy? The more a person connects to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's how he's going to become happy. But now we have to ask ourselves, okay, now we have the beginning of the Shia. Now we have the Yisoy. It's a philosophy, right? We have to have Nafkamina Zalina. Tatakas, how do you do this? A rabbi, give me. Yireinu Mareinu, how do I want to be happy? My goal is, Hinni Bucham Zuman, Kumtosh Chodesh Adar, comes Thursday night, it's going to be Tzitz Kechavim, the Aleph Adar. So everyone has to have in mind, Mashayim, Yichel, Mashayim, Mitzvahs, Hinni Bucham Zuman, Shinnichot Adar, Ma'am Simcha. How am I going to go ahead and do that? So we have to look for ways, look for vehicles that are going to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the real goal. So here you go. What possible ways do we have to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Baruch Hashem, we have a few. We have approximately 613 ways to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we can break down the 613 mitzvahs that we have really into three different categories. There are three different ways, three different vehicles that are available to us in order to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not just available to us, they're available to the entire world. There are three parts of our Avodas Hashem that if we worked on, Torah, Avodah, Gilus Chasadim, if we perfect ourselves in these areas, we will find an unbelievable sense of joy, because we will find a tremendous sense of connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we try to do all day. All we want to do is connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Connecting is a very big word in my house. My wife does all day, but I do all day. We try to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this is it. There's a new program of why you connect, but why you connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. How are we going to go ahead and doing that? What methods and mechanisms are we going to use? So it shouldn't come as a tremendous surprise to anybody. But one of the major mechanisms that we're going to use is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We have spoken about Talmud Torah once or twice this year, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll be talking about it every day when we learn sugyas. The Talmud Torah is an unbelievable way of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a little bit tricky, the connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Derech Talmud Torah. I'll tell you why. Because some people, we live in a world of instant gratification. So we find this in everything. Instant gratification in Olam Hazeh, instant gratification in terms of Gashmi's goals, in terms of Ruchni's goals. I just had someone who was in APS Shabbos meal, the principal of day schools in the New York area. So he was talking to us about called the marshmallow experiment. I don't know what that is. Right? Oh, and it was in psychology, whatever. So maybe if I say it wrong, you'll correct me. So he said they give this bunch of little kids, they give them a marshmallow. They put them in a room and they say, you have two choices. Either you can eat the marshmallow now, fine, it's great, symbolic. Or if you just hold off for 5 minutes, I'll be right outside. I'm going to come back in 5 minutes, and if you don't eat the marshmallow for the next 5 minutes, so I'm going to give you two marshmallows. Right? That'd be a deal. Like, careful. If you hold off for long enough, you get dollars a day. Not bad. A little lumbus, you got to make it feel back at home. So that's the shout. So you take 100 kids. So I don't know if the numbers broke down, what the statistics, I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't really matter how many kids did one, but some kids ate the marshmallow right away, and some kids were able to hold off. What was the gallus of this experiment? Apparently they tracked these kids 20, 30 years later to see which kids were more matzliach in life. So the kids who had that ability of to be able to delay that instant gratification, they were the ones who were able to hold down jobs later in life, they're the ones who had happier marriages later in life, they're the ones who were matzliach, the most successful in life, because they had that need, they had that beginning of being able to avoid instant gratification. The kid who couldn't wait 5 minutes to eat the marshmallow was the kid who became, later in life, had to grab everything, had to get everything, didn't have that midah of being able to delay gratification, so it cost him his life, it cost him his simcha. You would think, if you look at the two kids with the marshmallows, if you just take that little sniff and say, There's one kid who's eating the marshmallow. He's really happy. Mush marshmallow over his face. Gavaldik and Moyerdik said, whereas the other guy, the poor kid, he's staring at the marshmallow. He's not eating it. He must be starving. He must be, you know, deprived. You know, we think he's developing all kind of, you know, traumatic, you know, symptoms. Like, but at the end of the day, the kid who holds off eating the marshmallow, he gets two marshmallows, and then he's much, much happier. He has a great life. So in the realm of gashmias, we all understand that. We all realize that. In the realm of gashmias, we have to work a little bit on the instant gratification. But what I'm talking about is in the realm of ruchnias also. Sometimes in the realm of ruchnias, we're also expecting instant gratification. We expect the following is going to happen. We're going to open our agamara. What do we learn? What correct? We learned this year. Did any? Let me ask you a question. You guys, come on. When you heard, who here was heard Lainey yesterday? Don't show me. But who here was in shul for Krizador yesterday? Who heard Pashas Mishpatim? Who didn't really enjoy it? Come on, you're going to tell me you didn't enjoy Pashas Mishpatim? How could you not? I mean, I started to tear. I got the Veloya also and Anoshi Anesh because she was falling. But the Knas moment, the Chiyafata Ishnar. I mean, come on. It was like, it was just like Molly for God. I haven't been so excited since we learned Bab Mitzian. And you know, I still had good feel. I still had nice feelings, one of those warm, gushy, mushy feelings when we got to Hashem and Mark Yehuzah. It was just so exciting. I was looking around, sure, I don't know what to be, you know, I was just like, really weary up. Most people, if you say to them, okay, I'm about to introduce you to an unbelievable Ruchniyistic experience. You're going to come like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is going to be between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Here it comes. You're all ready. You got it? Okay, here it comes.
I
was expecting something very deep. I was expecting, you know, some really, really heavy-duty kumzis with the lights off. I was expecting the whole nine yards. You know, I didn't get it. I'm just talking about whether maybe the Knas Potter or something. I'm talking about I got to that. I was like jumping around in my seat. I mean, the God of Etovah Shabbos, whether it's Chayiv Dal Vehei or not, probably it just isn't doing the trick. This is just not connecting me to the Rebbe. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this whole picture? So when you ask that question, you're like the kid who can't hold back. And he's got to just eat that marshmallow. The person says, you know what? This is a time-tested way of reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This path has been successfully completed by, I'll tell you, some people. Rashi traveled down this path. And the Rambam, and the Ramban, and the Vilna Gaon, and the Ktzois, and Reb Chaim, and a lot of other people before and afterwards. And it worked. For every one of those people, they had an unbelievable relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do you think the Ramban got his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where in the world do you think the Rambam got his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You read the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and you can mamish cheer, and you watch the way the Rambam is describing Avas Hashem. And we'll get a Ram for me. Ram in Hilchos Tshuva. Who got me? There you go. Come on, Rambam Chachuv. Let's go. Get those Rambam Kamas ready. The other way, when we read, which Rambam did we just read the other day? The Rambam Hukas Sha'ovas Hatumas, right? Every word, like you saw the Rambam painting himself, like, you know, like he's saying something, he's not sure. You could read, you could see the words of the Rambam, you could feel the Rambam. I always love to quote the Rambam Chachuv. Fine. Hukas Chuvah, very good Hukas Chuvah. That's the race to the finish. He gets over Shuba first. Some of those old years when he used to have a Rambam on the desk. Very good. What happened? Very good. Ooh, very good. Okay, everyone get the pictures. Okay. There's the rabbi. Oh, all right. Listen to this. Listen to this. Preg Yud Halacha Gimel. The Ketzad Hi Ahava Re'uya Shiel Ves Hashem. The Rambam is defined. What is Avas Hashem? We spoke about this Rambam earlier in the year, I think. Last year. What is the Shiel of Avas Hashem? The Rambam is writing this no less than the Rambam would write how much matzah you have to eat. No less than the Rambam is writing when defining what's called the Malacha and Shabbos. No less than the Rambam is defining what's called Kiyum Ramadan. What's the shear? Ketzri Ava. Gedoyla. Yesera. Aza. Me'od. So far you gave four adjectives. Again, the Rambam didn't waste words. Gedoyla, Yesera, Aza, Me'od. Achetehei. Navshe Kshura Be'ava Sashem. V'nimtza shege batomid, that the Rambam, the person is thinking about it constantly, then the Rambam didn't suffice. He didn't say enough yet. He didn't say enough, he said enough for me. The Rambam gives a mashal. It's like the Rambam Nukh Hashara Satum. He's got to give a mashal. The Rambam does all the time. When he wants to present the yesod, and he knows that you're not quite able to appreciate the yesod yet, he'll give you something with sabra sa'ozo. He'll give you some mashal to appreciate it. Like a person who's mamish, what we call today in modern language lovesick. Mamish, lovesick. And how does a person who's lovesick behave? That his mind can't get off. He's in love with a certain woman. He can't think about anything else. Who shoge batamid? And he's holding it all the time. He's thinking about it nonstop. Listen to this description of the Rambam. Bein b'shivtei, bein b'kumo. Whether he's sitting or whether he's standing. Where did the Rambam get that phrase from? Bein b'shivtei, bein b'kumo. Took it right out of the way. Where did he steal it from? Right out of Kriya Shema. Bein b'shashu eichel v'shaisa. Well, he's eating and drinking. The woman's not even here. She's not here. He's sitting and eating, and he's thinking about her. So the Rambam says, it's not even a good mashal, the Rambam says. The Rambam gives you the mashal, and he backs out from the mashal. There's a bad mashal. Why? Yes, Amizah. He says, whatever I told you in the mashal, it doesn't do justice to Avas Hashem. More than this, Tia Avas Hashem, Belev Ohavav Shogim Batamid. It's like the Rambam just, he can't stop. He's on a roll. He's mamash on a flow. And he didn't say enough. He didn't say enough. He said a lot already. For who sheshloim amadech mashal, yicholat ava ani. The kol shirashirim mashal u'inyanze. Says the Rambam, that is the goal of halacha gimel. All shirashirim of the Rambam is a mashal for this, what the shir of Avas Hashem is. You think the Rambam woke up one morning, okay? You know, it was a bar mitzvah, one morning, and he woke up and he wrote it. You think the Rambam just came to go and Avas Hashem? You can see it's burning. It's mamish eish lahava in his heart. You can see in between the drops of ink, he's just consumed with Avas Hashem. Where did Rambam get it from? How did the Rambam accomplish this? So I need another Rambam. Perak Dal Huchas Yisari Atera. Send it back. Perak Yud Halacha Gimel Huchas Tshuva. It's Perak Dal Huchas Yisari Atera towards the end. Towards the end of the Perak. I can't tell you for sure. And I like this short and small season. Once I'm really spoiled, I might as well go the whole way. Okay. Look at this. All right. Wait, we gotta go down a little bit. Hold on, we gotta go down. Okay. See you at the end. So the Rambam talks about a person who has tremendous havanas in the depths and the mystery halachim of Torah that the Rambam describes as Ma'aseh Breishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, all those beautiful, wonderful, you know, esoteric parts of Torah. And the Rambam writes, it's an unbelievable thing. A person who's zoicha to understand that, unbelievable. Then the Rambam writes, "Bani oimer zok the Rambam she'ein roi l'tayel b'pardes elamishen esmali kreis alechem abosar." It's not appropriate for a person to start their learning in those areas until they're full of eating the bread and the meat. So it's like eating dessert without it. Like my kids, they eat dessert, they come home first they eat dessert, and then afterwards, if they're in the mood, they have the meal. So Ram says that's a silly way of doing things. For lechem u'basar, first you have to wash, you have bread, you have meat. Hu leida ha'osa v'hamutar v'chayetz v'mishar mitzvahs, says the Rambam. Even though, in terms of the hierarchy of Chokhmat Hashem, it's the lower part, but the Gemara calls Davar Katan. It's not quite Ma'aseh Breishis, Ma'aseh Merkava. Afal Pichen, says the Rambam, Ru'in in Lag Dimon, She'miyash fin Daita Shalodim Tchila. Says the Rambam, this is the way to get to that higher level of Torah. So, Oh, She'im HaToiva HaGedoyla, She'ishpia Kodesh Baruch Hu Yishev Oilem Hazeh, Kidei Lidchol Chayelem Abba. Says the Rambam, says, this is the way. This is the path. There is no other way. There is no way to get to levels of Avodas Hashem, levels of Avodas Hashem, levels of Yedias Hashem, without going through the path of Leida Asad Amuta Chayda Potah Tavra Tohar, what we call Shas Abayis. We call Gemara. We call Limud HaTorah Teshuva Peh. That's the way to do it, says the Rambam. So you want to know the Rambam Shittos, when the Rambam was writing those lines in the Cheshuva, describing this all-encompassing Avodas Hashem, how did the Rambam get there? He got there because he learned Kol HaTorah Kula. He wrote the Kol HaTorah Kula. He wrote all the Mishnah Torah. I mean, if you learn through every single sugya, every sugya of Dal Vehei, every sugya of Knas, every sugya of Kibbutz Ramin, every Shkiddush and Ruin, everything that we spend all our days talking about, the Rambam sat and worked through and thought through and thought through and thought through. Lord, we just have the Rambam. The Rambam Lashitasa Nuchasikur Vesevarazar Lashitasa Nuchasavasatun. The Rambam thought through and he worked and he did Giyah Mola Shatara for years and years and years and years. And all of a sudden, at the end of the day, what did the Rambam have to show besides all Mishnah Torah? He was able to pen those words, Ava, Aza, Gedolad, Me'oid, Me'oid. He was able to describe an Avas Hashem that was so consuming. A person doesn't go through the root of Torah, it's not real. From the Gaon, from the Rambam, to the Chofetz Chaim, to Moshe, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter who, you pick your Gadol. Through the vehicle of Talmud Torah, a person is able to get an unbelievable level of Avas Hashem, but it's not going to come instantly. It doesn't come, you open up the Gemara, Shneimach, some Talis, wow, you don't, it doesn't happen like that. It happens with time. When it happens, it happens. It takes a little bit of time, and then you get this unbelievable feeling of closeness to the time. The famous story that happened there, some of the older Talmidim probably heard the story before, story about the Yerushalmi Chassid and the Alexander Chassid. I don't remember that. It's been a while, because I haven't told it in a couple of years. Everybody must have heard it. Okay, I'll tell it. You tell the story again. It goes back to Keren Biavne. I was learning in Keren Biavne. I was joining Ben Ezmahan. It was summertime between a couple of my different students in Keren Biavne. And it was like almost Rosh Chodesh Elul. I was walking around Be'er Sharm or something. I had like about 2 hours to kill so that I was supposed to meet somebody. I had about 2 hours really, nothing to do. Rosh Chodesh Be'er Sharm is not a bad place to be if you're nothing to do. You can either waste your whole time looking for Svarim. It's one thing to do, not waste. But or you can actually go into Beis Medrash and actually learn some Svarim. So I chose the second option. So I went to Beis Medrash. It was a very hot day, I remember, in August. I was looking for the first cold Beis Medrash. So I see there's a big sign that says, Beis Medrash de Chassidi Alexander. So, I mean, personally, I'm not an Alexander Chassid. I'll go all this. You know, okay, if the air conditioning is working, I can become an Alexander Chassid for the day. So I walk into Beis Medrash. It was the end of Chodesh Av. Not a soul around. No one around, but the air conditioning was on. So I sit down, think I'm safe. And try to learn a little bit. And an old Yerushalmi man comes in. I imagine he wasn't Alexander Chassid. He definitely looked the part. And he comes in, he offers me a cup of cold water. And then he sees I'm sitting and learning. You know, I didn't exactly look like him. My God, Kim Yavna. He looks at me, straight in the face. Kol HaDovek BaTorah, Kol HaDovek BaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you cling to the Torah, you're holding on, you're clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for dear life. And he walked out. I don't know who he was, I don't know where he came from, I don't know what his last name was, Novi, I don't know where he was. That was the message. So every once in a while you get these like game changers in life. You get these like, you know, moments in life which wake you up and you're able to refer back to where you get chizik from. So every once in a while when I'm down, I remember that Alexander Chassid. I don't think he realized the impact that he had on my life. When you want to be Dovik Yatim Bevek Hashem Lakechem, you want to have Bevekus Hashem, that's the way to go. You want to know what the mitzvah simcha is. You want to know the greatest way to fulfill the mitzvah sometimes simcha. We'll change a word. Some of you may notice on probably on Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, they're going to put these signs all around the Shiva. Right? Remember those little sheets that say, Mishanichnas Adamar Bishimcha Vein Simcha La Torah, and Me'azim Mekedem Yemur Be Yeshivas, the Nagul Harbas Vestorim, the Harbas Vahasmada, Neir Shkodesh Oda Adar Pesach. You know who insisted that those signs be put up? David Lifshitz. David, those who know Rav David was a Rav David. You know, a few days of David Lifshitz. David Lifshitz was a Rishiva from Europe still. He was a Suvat Rav. He was a Rav in Suvat in Lithuania. And he escaped Nisim as well. So he escaped during the middle of the Holocaust and he ended up in America and became a Rishiva here. He was a Rishiva here for almost 50 years. If you look at on the Bima in Abbas Medrash, go tomorrow morning when you go to the Seder. No, not tomorrow morning. You go to the Seder. After now, when you go to the Seder, So you'll notice, read the inscription on the cover on the bima, on the shulchan. It says Hukdash l'chvod of David Lushit Tzal, Rav the Suvak, Shimesh Kreshiva b'Shiva Seinu, Korav l'Yovel Shana. It was just almost 50 years he was Rosh Hashiva in YU. So he insisted those signs have to be put up every year. Rosh Chodesh Adar. He's already nifter over 20 years ago. So those signs are still put up out of here. So that's the essence, that encapsulates. You want to know what the Shnichas of the Marim B'Simcha is? Marim B'Simcha is Valdi, Valdi, Simcha, the Dovid Simcha. That's one method, one view. An important one, it's only one of the three. There are other ways to become Dovid Hashem as well. There are other expressions of Simcha, other ways to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We mentioned that the Ikra Simcha is really the Mikdash. And the Ikra expression of the Mikdash is, of course, Avodah, Avodah Shil Mikdash. So the Gemara has a famous comment in Masechet Tainus, of the days, commenting on the Pasuk in Kriya Shema, Uva'avda b'chol avachem, Ezi Avodah Shebelev. What's considered to be an expression of Avodah Shebelev? How does the person serve Hashem Belev? I understand how I serve Hashem with my hands, bringing karbanos. How do I serve Hashem with Belev? Versus every omid of tefillah. That's considered to be tefillah. If there's a din of Avodah on tefillah, what that means is that tefillah has all those dimensions, all those characteristics of Avodah Sakarbanos, just it's Belev, it's not the file, it's not the Adayim, it's Belev. One of the dinim of Avodah Samikdash, the Gemara tells us, is that Avodah Samikdash has to be mitech simcha v'tov leivav. You can't bring karbanos in a state of being miserable. That's what we said before, an oyne is not allowed to bring karbanos. The Gemara says even more than that. That if a person brings a carbon, let's say a carbon tzibur, Elisha brings a carbon, we just read Pasha Shkolim, so they bring in the carbon, karbanos tzibur, when they bring karbanos tzibur, so it has to be derech simcha. How does that simcha express itself? The shiras halaviyah. The Gemara says that there's a mitzvah, there's a din, halacham, there's a tashim, that teaches us that when you bring karbanos tzibur, they have to be accompanied by the zemiras and the shiras of the leviyim. Hashirah Levim on the base of Mikdash. Where does it say that in the Chumash that the Levim sing Shiras? It doesn't say that anywhere. So the Gemara quotes multiple Makaris in Tosha B'Sah for that din of Shiras Levim. So one of the Makaris is a fascinating one. Bokhi Vashti Shavo, Tachas Hashem Avalatas Hashem Lakech B'Simcha V'Tiv Leivav. The Gemara says, Ezel Avaida Shem B'Simcha V'Tiv Leivav, Zu Shira. That Simcha V'Tiv Leivav defines the Avaida Sakarbanis, and the way to express that Simcha is adopted through Shira. Person sings. Singing has an unbelievable ability to express simcha. That's the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah of bringing karbanos. That's what the Ramban writes in Sefer Mitzvahs, that on Yom Tov, the reason why we say Hal on Yom Tov is because there's a mitzvah simcha of Yom Tov. The Rambam writes that Hal on Yom Tov is on the Rabbanan. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, it's a deraisa. Why is it a deraisa? It's not a separate mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah, the pre-existing mitzvah, simcha Yom Tov. There's a mitzvah in the Torah through the Samech on Yom Tov. Part of simcha Yom Tov is Shira, singing Halil. So you see that Avodah Sakarbanos has to be accompanied by Shira. Because Avodah Sakarbanos has to be in the state of Simcha. Why does Avodah Sakarbanos have to be in the state of Simcha? Because that's what it is. It's with Hashem. Remember we said, anytime you become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that automatically triggers the Chiv of Simcha. That existence of Simcha expressed itself from Ma'aseh and Olam Hazeh through the vehicle of Shira. So if that is all true when it comes to Avodah Sakarbanos, then the same is true, the same basic idea is true when it comes to Avodah Shebelev as well. And Avodah Shebelev Tefillah is supposed to be a connecting experience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person davens, so it's not just a person saying words, a person has to have kavanah when he davens. That's what the Gemara says, tefillah, but kavanah is ishkin tefillah. What does that mean? What's the kavanah that you have for tefillah? What's the basic kavanah of tefillah? There's a famous Rosh Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim Yechazkiel explains, the brisk of ordin kavanah, the two dinim of kavanah. There's a din of kavanah, peres ha'milim, you have to know what you're saying, you have to understand what you're saying. That's one din of kavanah, but that's not the main din of kavanah that you're trying. The main din of kavanah tefillah is the cognizance of being over the Shnei Melech. You have to know that you're standing in front of your Baruch Hu. That is the definition of tefillah. The Reb Chaim writes, whether you hold mitzvahs tichas kavanah, ain't tichas kavanah, it doesn't matter. That's not a mitzvahs tichas kavanah means that I'm shaking a lulav, that I have kavanah now. So kavanah is something tangential to most mitzvahs, but the tefillah, kavanah is not tangential to tefillah. Kavanah is the definition of tefillah. Why? Because the very essence of tefillah is not just a mitzvah shebedibur. The very essence of tefillah is the being aware of the fact that you're oimid the Shnei Hashem. The fact that you're having an experience with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that defines, that's the essence, that's the mahus of tefillah. As such, I understand what tefillah is. It's like simcha. A person can't get up in daven without being in a good mood. It's supposed to be a very, very joyful experience being in the state of tefillah. Sometimes people are mistaken. Sometimes people think that joy means, you know, most people, they translate simcha, they say simcha means fun or something. Yes, most kids, I like to ask the kids this sometimes. Not my kids. My kids already know the answers to this because I told them already. So I'll ask kids, you know, tell me what are some of the things that you think make you happy? Some examples of things that are, you know, simcha. So they'll usually give you examples of things that are fun. It makes me, it's fun to go to the amusement park. It's fun to, you know, get candy. Those are things that are, that's not joy. That's fun. fun is very, very limited. Fun is something that's here right now, gone a little later. Joy leaves you. When you do something that's joyful, when you do something with simcha, so it leaves you with that feeling which lasts a long, long time, lasts for eternity, the real sense of a joy. Imagine for a second, you're sitting back now, and think about that time you went down that roller coaster. Try to like feel that, to make you feel good when you think about it now. That I'm not having that feeling right now. It's nothing. It's just remember Taylor. But think about a time when you were really the simcha. That taka makes you happy. Makes you feel good now. Simcha is something that is eternal. Fun is a very, very fleeting. When we speak about these experiences of Talmud Torah and of tefillah being the simcha, so sometimes people think that means you have to be like, laughing and kal tzchok and kal tzrosh. It's bechlal not true. You find that when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we can muster up two different kinds of emotions. It seems to be contradictory. We speak about coming to the Beis HaMikdash being the Simcha, and we speak about coming to the Beis HaMikdash being the Mora. The person comes to the Beis HaMikdash and there's a tremendous Meir, there's a tremendous Pachad. How can I be Simcha? How can I tell you have to be a Korban Simcha and still be the Mora? The answer is it's not a Stira, because they both come from the same source. They're both expressions of being with Hashem. When you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you have these complementary emotions, not contradictory emotions, complementary emotions of Simcha and Meira. They both come from the same place. I'm in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm standing with Hashem, Of course I'm happy, but of course I'm frightened. Of course I'm thrilled, but of course I'm trembling. It's not a stira. We do it all the time. People experience these events of both emotion. Tap a chosen and kala. On the shoulder, under the chup, and ask them, how do you feel right now? Gauge. Tell them, what is your emotion right now? Are you happy? We hope the answer is yes. Okay? You're very, very happy. Are you scared? Let's give you the answer. Yeah. Are you trembling? Yeah. Are you thrilled? Yeah. It's astiha. It's akasha. How can it be? But the same experience is able to create two emotions, because the two emotions are not contradictory. They're both emanating from the same feeling, because I'm embarking upon an unbelievable thing which I know is going to be great. On the other hand, it's terrifying also. And that's fine. That's perfectly okay. That's how a person approaches a Kadosh Baruch Hu also. I wouldn't trade it in for anything. A person standing under the chuppah wouldn't trade in that experience for anything in the world. I wouldn't trade in Talmud Torah for anything in the world. It's an unbelievable simcha. But do I realize the awesomeness of it? A person has to pachad. Gemara says that Ma'ad Divrei Torah nitnu be'eim of yira. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, it was be'eim of yira. When you're learning a sugya, it's be'eim of yira. Pachad pechodim. We're going to analyze the Dvar Hashem. We're going to use our human intellect. We're going to knock our heads against the wall and draw funny charts and draw funny pictures. And you know, we make it light and lively. We want to make it, make it exciting and make it fun. But this is pachad. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. The whole world is going to depend upon how we understand Pshat and this Rambam, how we learn Pshat and this Gemara Rashi Tosfos. This is serious stuff. This is in Loi Brisi, Yom V'Lai L'Chuk Shemayim V'Aretz Lo Samti. This is the real stuff. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us that opportunity to learn His Torah and to be Moshe's Torah to the next generation. That's an awesome, awesome, awesome thought. Doesn't mean we're not going to have a great time doing it. We're having the greatest time in the world doing it, but we still realize the severity, the significance of what we're doing. Tefillah also. We want a person to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's having a great time. He loves it. I wouldn't trade in this tefillah experience for anything. It doesn't mean that I come, okay, time to dive into Ribbono Shel Olam. Time to start dancing, hopping around. That's not right. Person's diving, speaks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's Nayavayam. It's a humbling, terrifying experience. It's a great experience. Not terrifying in a bad way that I want to run away. Terrifying in a good way. I want to run to the chuppah. I know it's going to be terrifying. I still want to stand there because I know this is the greatest thing in the world. It's not a stira. So we have two of the vehicles. Torah and tefillah. There's a third vehicle. In the world of chesed. Mitzvah of chesed is one of the main themes of this month. It culminates in the celebration of the Yontif of Purim. Chazal instituted chesed as such a major component in the celebration of Purim. They threw in two mitzvahs. Shulach Manos is an aspect of chesed, and also Yonim obviously is an aspect of chesed. There's Kule chesed in the celebration of the Yom Tov Purim. Why is that? Why is Purim having a certain sense more dosage of chesed, perhaps even than other Yom Tovim? I think the answer is because Purim has more of a dosage of simcha than any other time. You should look at the Rambam simcha. Matin yin simcha to chesed, what's the connection? I'm right that that if a person has to figure out how to celebrate Purim, the person has to figure out how to celebrate Yom Kippur. What should the emphasis, what should the focus be on? So the Rambam in both places writes a similar theme. So the Rambam writes, you know, when it comes to Purim, there are a lot of mitzvahs hayayim, shalchmanas, it's Purim, it's a lot of mitzvahs. And some people, you know, like to put their emphasis in one and maybe a little bit less in the other. Says the Rambam, if you want to know where to emphasize the celebration of Purim, what should your real goal be? You have to read the Megillah, you got to read the Yisuda, you got Yisuda. You have to do all the mitzvah. No, not this or that. You have to do them all. It says the Rambam, you want to know where to put your eggs, you want to know really, really where to store, where to put most of your emphasis. Says the Rambam, it should be in the realm of Matanos Lev Yonim. Why should it be Matanos Lev Yonim? My Manishtar Matanos Lev Yonim. So the Rambam writes, I would have expected the Rambam to say, the reason why you have to be so much Machar Matanos Lev Yonim, because it's great, it's Tadaka, it's Ches. The Rambam writes, it's the greatest type of simcha. The Rambam's talking of Chas Purim, Chas Megillah, Chas Yom Tov. The Rambam's telling you how to fulfill simcha. The greatest source of simcha is l'sameach lev ha'yisamim v'almanas, to give simcha to others, to share the simcha, the joy with those who are downtrodden, those who don't have the simcha. Sometimes it's literally yisamim v'almanas, sometimes it's lav dafka, sometimes stop. Anyone you can help, anyone you can give a helping hand, anyone give a smile, anyone you can give a little bit of assistance, a little boost to. Why is it such a gevaldike simcha? And Ram goes on. Ram says, because by doing that, a person emulates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does all day. You wonder, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam do all day? The Ribbono Shel Olam does chesed all day. Mechadesh betuva b'choyom tar ma'asev reishis. If you had an opportunity to do a chesed, to give chiyus, to give life, you could run a mission, not just to save 20 people here or 20 people there. You could run a mission that you could keep 100 people in the world now. What are we up to? 7 billion already? Close to 7 billion people? What are we up to? 3 past 6? 7? Something like that. I would tell you like this. We're going to run a YU winter mission. You're going to do Tigger. You're going to save 6 billion people. Right? I would say that's the most unbelievable chas that a person could possibly do. That's what Ribbono Shel Olam does every single second. The entire world, from here to here to the entire universe, the entire world. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate. You can't get more Gemilas Chesed than that. The Rambam writes, if you really want to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you want to be Dovik Hashem, the best way to be Dovik Hashem is to do what? Is to do exactly what he does. The Baruch Hu is not expecting you to keep 6 billion people alive. Although it's interesting, Ron Cutler writes on has a fascinating parish in the Mishnah. In the Maseches Peah that we see in Davening, says the Talmud Torah Kenevi Kulam. It's a little bit of a Pella Mishnah because the Mishnah lists off all the different types of Ben Amachavero. Milchasadim, Bikichol, Machasad Kala, Havashom, all the Ben Amachaveros. And then it says, and by the way, the Talmud Torah Kenevi Kulam. How is Talmud Torah Kenevi? It's like mixing apples and oranges. It's like saying, you know, apples are better. It's like saying that apples are better than computers. Oh, that's a good line. That's a pretty good line. I didn't mean that. Okay? Oranges are better than computers. Oranges are better than... I didn't even catch it. Delayed reaction. That was a good line. I like that. Put that on for the book lines. Okay. So apples are better than computers. They said, apples are better than computers. There's no connection. Let me get down between the two. So what does the Rambam say? What does the Mishnah say? What does the It's greater than the visiting somebody in the hospital. What's the connection? So Rambam says, no. We sometimes think the Talmud Torah is just for me and the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm learning a Taisa. What does that have to do with the rest of the world? Says when a person is learning Torah, if you believe Yamud Shalema that in your Torah the entire world revolves around, you are being gavel chesed to 6 billion people. So they have a choice: should I be gavel chesed to one person or should I be gavel chesed to 6 billion people? What's the shaila? Talmud Torah Nakula. So there are klal in halacha. There's a din in halacha. That if you have a mitzvah, bali yadcha, the eif shalach tesat echeirim, you have to close your gemara and go perform the mitzvah. So in a chinam, if there's somebody who has to be visited in the hospital, the halacha is, you close your gemara and you take care of your chesed, you take care of the person in the hospital. If tzedakah has to be raised and nobody else can do it, close your gemara, go back, take care of the chesed. There it didn't, there are klalim in tzedakah halacha about what Talmud. But in terms of the notion that Talmud Torah is kind of on the bottom, Talmud Torah, oh come on, you're sitting in the corner learning, what are you giving to society? What are you giving to society? You're giving society to society. You're giving the world. You're giving the world alive. That's the Eilu Chachat. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's the greatest chesed in the world. It's not a plate there from doing other chesed and the chlalmat. There it didn't. When you have to stop and when you don't have to stop, when you should stop and would stop. There are a lot of chlalmat. What the correct method of mixing and matching Talmud Torah with nice is. But don't let people tell you, yeah, you're just sitting in the basement. What are you adding to the world? What are you adding to the world? You go brisi, yo, shemayim vartz chus, shemayim vartz losapti. The world is being held up by your Torah. Your Torah is critical, not just for yourselves. It's critical for the whole world. The Rambam writes that we have a choice on Purim. I spend a little bit more time reading the Megillah, a little bit more time reading my Suda, a little bit more time reading Matan Savyonim. Ein lecha simcha mefohar lefnei hamakom. It's the greatest expression of closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, it's going to be the greatest form of simcha. It's going to be a gewaldig simcha when the person is mesameach others. I know I get a tremendous, tremendous chizuk every Purim. One of my jobs on Purim is I'm involved in the distribution of all the Matan Savyonim in the community. So I don't actually hand over to this. I sit around and make all the calculations. The money comes in, so Purim afternoon, it's part of my day on Purim, is to be involved in making sure that all the money ends up in the right places at the right time, hopefully before Shkia. We have all the emergency funds for the people who give the money late in the day. So we say in certain communities in the greater New York area, Shkia is very, very late. So those who give me the money 5 minutes before Shkia, I can't promise them which Shkia the money is going to be delivered by. But if you give me the money early in the day, so hopefully the money will get to the right place. That takes up some of my time on Purim. So I always remember my grandmother, Shalom, told me that she remembers when she was a little girl that her father used to be involved in the distribution of the Matan Savyonim in town. A little Galician shtetl somewhere. He was given that was his job. So I always feel like, I'm doing it a little bit more complicated. People aren't bringing me their rubles and handing it out, but it's the same basic idea. So it's a gevaldik simcha on Purim. So even though Baruch Hashem, the other things we do on Purim, so this, I feel this is mamash a kiyum of simchas Purim. Not just Matan Savyonim, it's mamash a kiyum of simchas Purim. Any way that you can be involved in the sameach, those who are less fortunate, so that enhances your simcha also, not just their simcha, it enhances your simcha as well. So basically the goal of the next month is giving you mishenichas adi b'ayim b'simcha. That's the din. It's not a goal. It's a din, it's a halacha. And don't think it's only for Purim, because Rashi writes, and when the Chazal said Mishnichas Adam Ma'am Simcha, Rashi writes, she made Purim v'Pesach tulin b'hem. Last I checked, Pesach in Nisan, not in Adar. So what does the Rambam mean? What does Rashi mean? Rashi learns from the Mishnah, Mishnichas Adam Ma'am Simcha doesn't mean that only Adar is a month of Simcha. It means Mishnichas Adar, once Adar starts, that kicks off the whole Simcha season. And how long does the Simcha season go? Summer through Nisan also. Nisan is also a Zman of Simcha. Simcha Yontif, at least till Nisan. So you have two good months, B'shenichas Adam Aram B'simcha, of Chodesh Adar and Chodesh Nisan, to really work and perfect yourself on these three dimensions of Eretz Hashem. And the payback is going to be gevaldik. You may not feel it immediately, but you just hang on there with those marshmallows. You really, really wait a little bit. You get two marshmallows. If you get two marshmallows, you can maybe even make a bracha korona. Last night I got stuck. We had to go to run to a bar mitzvah. Yeah, two bar mitzvahs last night. So I had to run to one. So I knew I was going to wash up the second one. So the first one, I just had some nash. So I grew up some nash. So I had some of the marshmallow treats. So I grabbed one of them. So then, soft drink and bracha chrona with the children. Ice and that. So I was looking around. What else could it be mashed in the shield with? I was really stuck, and I had to go. We had a run already. So I need another one. It's a shot of the Suffolk. And then I need a Chazanish Kazai. I filled in a few until I felt that I was. I thought Hilchos Brachos does wonders. Either it makes you lose a lot of weight or gain a lot of weight. Because every time you have a Suffolk, either you say, I don't want to get involved in Suffolk Brachos, I won't eat anything. Or I don't want to get involved in any Suffolk Brachos, so I'll eat everything to make sure that I won't have any spatos anymore. So it depends whichever way. So I wanted the extra marshmallows. I found the cooler to eat the extra marshmallows. But, the bottom line is that we have three wonderful vehicles that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us to enable us to reach this goal of Simcha. It's going to be a gevaldiger next month, a gevaldiger next 2 months. There's a lot of exciting things in store for us, hopefully in terms of the learning part, hopefully davening will pick up also, in terms of our ability to be gemar chesed, the b'nus chasadim, you don't have to always run to the strangers to be gemar. Be gemar chesed within yourselves, within each other, be nice to each other, a little smiley, a little friendly, my wife said to me yesterday, she said, these days it's so cold, it's so miserable outside, it's so not conducive to anybody being friendly. Nobody wants to talk to anybody anymore. Everyone just wants to put their head down and bundle themselves up, not look at anybody. The goal is just to get alive from one place to another and to survive the cold. So yeah, even on these tough days, you got to smile and you got to be happy and you got to cheer up. We got to, be with it a little bit. So like that, we got to work it out from us. Okay, stay there now until, what time? Till regular time. 1 o'clock, whatever, say it until the end. Whatever time she would do. Okay. Hopefully from tomorrow back to a normal schedule.